This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Could this be Forward Gear?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Here's something we don't get to say too often anymore. Some good news for the auto industry. The bright spots today may come from Cash for Clunkers, the program we've heard a lot about lately. That's the plan that gives people rebates for trading in gas guzzlers for more fuel-efficient cars. Automakers are about to let us know what the program did for their July sales. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Ford is already saying it expects to report an increase in sales over last July. That would be the first time the company's been able to tout year-over-year gains in almost 2 years. Automakers as a whole are now thought to be on track to sell more than 10 million vehicles domestically this year. That's still far below what used to be considered normal, about 17 million a year. Ford's U.S. sales chief says even that 10 million wouldn't be possible without Cash for Clunkers. The billion-dollar rebate program is now up in the air after running out of money in less than a week. On C-SPAN yesterday, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood said he expects the Senate will follow the House to extend Clunkers.
Because of how wildly popular this is, and I'm sure senators are hearing from their constituents all over America.
Despite Clunkers, Ford's success isn't expected to be shared by GM and Chrysler. Their brief bankruptcies do appear to have hurt their images with consumers. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Wall Street starts the week after a mixed bag on Friday. The S&P was pretty much flat, the NASDAQ down about 0.33%. The Dow wrapped up its best July, its best month since October of 2002. The Dow was up about 0.2%. Today, Asian shares are mostly higher, and European markets are higher right now as well. Back when the financial crisis hit, the New York and NASDAQ stock exchanges declared a state of emergency and relaxed some of the rules on the companies they list. Well, beginning today, those old rules are back, including a requirement that stock values stay above a dollar to be eligible for trading. As Jill Barchet reports, it's got a lot of companies nervous.
Two dozen stocks are trading below a dollar on the New York Stock Exchange. Several hundred are in trouble on the NASDAQ. Richard Silla is a professor at New York University's Stern School of Business. He says to avoid the stigma of being delisted, some companies will employ a financial sleight of hand.
Companies often split their shares to get the price down. Well, why not have a reverse split to get the price up?
Delisting's bad news for companies, but it's worse for investors. They lose access to information and stock prices. But Silla says the restoration of the dollar rule isn't such a bad thing.
It can be taken as a sign of confidence that the worst is behind us because the exchanges do not really like to reduce the size of their businesses, which is what happens when a company is delisted.
Delistings won't happen immediately. There's a probation period. But Silla says many shaky companies will vanish from the exchanges over the next 8 months. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
You wouldn't think Google would have to advertise. After all, the word is a verb. It turns out even Google, though, has something it wants to get the word out on. The company's leasing billboard space in major cities this month, New York, San Francisco, Boston, Chicago. It's promoting its suite of applications for businesses, and starting today, a different message will be displayed each week. Google says more than 1.7 million businesses, schools, and government agencies use its online apps, but most rely on free versions, and the company's hoping to get them to switch to a subscription-based service in order to chip away at Microsoft's market.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
You know, lately we've gotten report after report of bank earnings that make the recession look like it's in the rearview mirror. things may appear to be positive for the big boys, but some small banks are having a tough time, too. SNL Securities reports there are more than 10 banks having difficulties not only in exiting the troubled asset relief program, but they haven't even been able to pay a penny in dividends. It's one of the topics Alan Sloan, Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan, says should be on the radar because we're talking more than $500 million in TARP money. Alan joins us to talk about it this morning. Hi, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
Which banks are these?
Well, I can tell you 18 of them, except you've probably never heard of any of them because there's a report that's listed 18 banks that haven't been able to make the dividend payments on their loans, these TARP loans from the government. And one of these days, after in Washington they stop high-fiving about all the money we taxpayers got from American Express and Goldman Sachs, it's going to begin to dawn on people that there are a whole bunch of these banks that aren't going to pay us back.
What were we expecting to get back from these banks?
Well, what I expected to get back, if there was a miracle, was the full interest these guys had agreed to pay, which was 5% for 5 years, and then getting the principal repaid. Now, in a bunch of cases, it's clear that we're not going to get the principal back.
So, Alan, can we as taxpayers take the same course of action as the banks would take if we were to default on loans?
Oh, no. If you default on a loan, either the bank comes and takes what you borrowed against, or it comes and puts you into bankruptcy or does any number of unpleasant things. But if the bank doesn't pay the Treasury's got certain rights, but having the bank stiff the Treasury is nothing like having you stiff the banks. And maybe the answer is maybe you should borrow from the Treasury next time, Steve.
So, I mean, no collection agents calling. They don't come and repossess your car or whatever the collateral.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they come and pound on the door of the president of the bank at midnight, but somehow I doubt that they do that.
All right. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us this morning. Alan, thanks.
My pleasure, Steve.
And finally, this word of advice to hackers. Watch out for hackers. At a recent convention going on in Vegas, the DEF CON conference at the Riviera Hotel over there, there was some hacking going on, all right. An ATM machine suspiciously located outside of surveillance camera site was maliciously taking credit and debit card information. The kiosk didn't get busted until someone noticed that behind the smoked glass of the machine wasn't a camera, but a computer gathering all that info. Police aren't sure if it was an inside job. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.